Leute, wie geil ist das denn? Ich durfte einfach Moz Kena im StarTalk treffen. Er ist ein britischer Künstler und wir beide haben uns ein bisschen über seinen Werdegang unterhalten, denn er wohnt mittlerweile in Berlin. Ich musste ihn dann natürlich fragen, wie es für ihn war, nach Deutschland zu kommen. Kulturschock oder ganz easy. Außerdem haben wir uns über seine Musikanfänge unterhalten, denn er hat damals einfach Coverversionen von Songs von Kendrick Lamar gedroppt und der hat ihn dann einfach im Studio besucht, ganz spontan. Darüber habe ich ihn ausgefragt. All das und viel mehr hört ihr jetzt im StarTalk.
Der Energy Star Talk. Eure Stars im Interview.
So, I'm here today with Moz Kena. It's so, so nice to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming through. And I want to start off, I always start off my interviews with the same question. So I want to ask you, what are you grateful for today?
Oh, I'm grateful to be at NRJ. I don't think people understand what joy it brings me to be here at a radio station that's playing my music. I mean, it's like a dream come true.
So nice. So, so nice to hear. So, I'm going to do a little deep dive today. First, I want to start off talking about your coming up and you growing up. I've read that, so you were born in London.
Yes.
Obviously. Where, yeah. In what parts of London?
It was just on the outskirts of West London.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. And so your father was a record store owner?
That was actually my mom.
Oh, is it your mom?
Yeah.
Then Wikipedia wrote that wrong.
Yeah. I mean, can we trust Wikipedia these days?
Nah, we can't.
But yeah, so it was meine Mutter. Mm-hmm. She used to own record shops. So I kind of grew up listening to a lot of dance music because of that. She was like dance music specialist. So she sold to a lot of DJs and... quite an interesting musical upbringing. Yeah,
that's what I was going to ask. Like, that probably really influenced your music and made you like see music that maybe other children wouldn't get to experience because you got everything right there. So how was that for you?
Absolutely. I mean, I guess I was not singing nursery rhymes. I was singing like dance music, house and soul music. But yeah, I guess that made me super unrelatable. But I'm grateful. And it's more like the older I get, the more I'm grateful for that. And I just think I've been absolutely blessed to have been born in an area like London and to have such an amazing kind of like melting pot of like all this different music that was around me growing up.
What does like the growing up in a record store kind of given your music today?
Honestly, I think it just gave me a knowledge of so much music, especially within dance music and soul music, a lot of old references and a lot of classic great artists, but also voices like there's lots of sort of like unrecognized voices in dance music that are just amazing to know the heritage of it. And you know, like the music that I'm making now is definitely informed by dance music. Like disco is like the original dance music, you know, it's where the dance music that we have today was born out of disco. So it's amazing to know these records and to have these records kind of like within you in order to create something new.
Mm-hmm. On the other side, what did your father do?
My dad, before I was born, he was a DJ. And then eventually he was a personal trainer. So, yeah.
Okay.
Night and day.
Yeah, definitely night and day.
Yeah.
And so you left school pretty young, right? Left school at what age?
I think I must have been about 15 or 16. It definitely wasn't legal.
And so you did it to pursue your music career at that time already?
Yeah, I always knew that this is what I wanted to do. And I just would do anything to kind of find a way to it, you know?
How did you know?
I can't describe it, but like when I was a kid, this is very silly, but when I was a kid, I just used to just imagine that I was just a really famous singer. I used to be in my bedroom, I'd be listening to music, and just in my imagination, I was in an arena or something, you know, performing for thousands of people. And I remember I would, you know, seeing people who really inspired me. Like I remember watching Elvis Presley when I was really young, and I was like, I just want to be that. Whatever that is, I want to do that. I want to be that, you know?
That is so great to hear, because I just have that little image of the little you in your room.
Little tiny me.
Yeah, and I can relate so much. I was playing football or soccer when I was growing up, and I was the same. In my room, I was acting like I was playing for the World Cup stage, so
amazing.
I didn't make it, but you are here now, and your song is played on the radio, so you basically manifested.
I mean, it's actually scary, to be honest, like how powerful your mind is, because like not for one second did I ever think that it wouldn't happen. Because in my mind, it was already there, you know, it was already happening. Like, I was just kind of waiting for the world to catch up, you know? But I guess that's why I'm so grateful for it now, is because, like, it's always been a part of me, that dream and that aspiration. And to see the world mirroring back at me what I believed since I was a child is just phenomenal.
It's great to see you having that resilience, though, of like, you don't care what everybody says. You just, you know you're going to make it. So that's just great perspective.
I mean, you got to back yourself 100. Yes. You know what I mean? Yes. Even in the times when the world's not reflecting back at you, like what you really believe is possible for you. And I just think like life's too short, you know, and there's enough like awful things happening in the world to like not have a dream.
What I
mean?
I get it. But does that come easy to you to just be that self? It seems to me like you're really self-confident.
Yeah.
And does that come easy to you, or did you have to like earn it on the way, or what did you have to do to get it, maybe?
It's all a lie. It's all like, I feel like it's just a fake it till you make it situation, you know. Of course, I'm a human being, like there's times when I don't really believe that things are possible, but like what choice do we have in this world, you know what I mean? Like we have to believe that there's a bigger, better version of us somewhere that's just waiting for us to find it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I get that. And so back to you leaving school really early. How did your parents react?
I don't think I gave them a choice. I think they just saw how serious I was and were like, I think they just kind of went along with it. I was a very like autonomous child, very sensitive, you know, but also really strong-willed and I think they really believed in me too, you know. I think they just thought, well, if he's that serious that he would just like decide not to go to school and put himself through the humiliation ritual of like performing in coffee shops and like shopping malls and like all of that. I mean, it's dreadful to like put yourself through that. It's so embarrassing, but like I was willing to do anything, you know.
How was that, performing in coffee shop? Like how was those experiences? Do you have like a crazy experience that you think back of when you think back of that time?
It was my 10,000 hours, if you know what I mean. Like, I think the reason why I don't find it strange or hard to perform to lots of people is because, like, I have had those moments of, like, seeing the whites of, like, 10 people's eyes, you know? Like, being, like, in a coffee shop, like, singing where nobody wants to hear you. You know what I mean? And everyone's just like, oh, God, like, what is this guy doing? You know, I don't know. It's like this, like... this climb up cringe mountain has been so long and arduous that I just was so used to it. But it's like so necessary to like give you the resilience and the tenacity and the skill to like be able to perform under any circumstances, you know?
I think you call it rejection therapy kind of, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, it's so painful in the moment, but it's like super important to experience that.
I understand. Really, really interesting. So let's move a little bit forward in your career. In 2016, so 10 years ago from now, you uploaded a reimagination of the song These Walls from Kendrick Lamar.
Yeah.
How did that come about?
You know, like I was at a point where I didn't have any original music, but I wanted to put something out in the world to see... just for something for people to hear, you know. I didn't have any releases, anything like that. So I love Kendrick Lamar, and To Pimp a Butterfly is one of my favorite albums, and I really love that song. And I was working with some cool young producers at the time, and we just decided, okay, let's just put something on SoundCloud, see what happens. And yeah, we made this song. I put some like melody to Kendrick's lyrics, and we posted it. And then like all of a sudden, it was like really quickly it just like started getting loads and loads of plays, and then all of a sudden there were lots of different publications, like music media outlets writing about it, like Pigeons and Planes and the Hilly Dilly, and I think, and like just all these like different like cool music publications that were writing about it. and then cut to eventually Kendrick hearing it, and he came to it. I was in the studio in LA, and to this day I don't know how this happened. I have no idea how this happened, but I was in Los Angeles at a recording studio called No Excuses, I think it's called, and Kendrick Lamar just walked into the room like and was like, who's Mos Kenna? It was like the most bizarre moment of my entire life, and I was like, me, I am Mos Kenna. and he was just like super cool, and really just, he was like, oh, you know, I hear lots of covers, and I really love what you did, the way you reimagined it, and I love your voice, and it was just amazing. It was just so amazing, and I have no idea how he knew I was there or why he was doing Untitled, Unmixed, Unmastered, the album that he was working on that then, at that studio, and yeah, wow, amazing.
You didn't ask him why? How did you? Yeah,
I think, or I was so starstruck, yeah, in the moment that I was just trying to play, be cool, you know. I was just trying to be like really chill about the whole thing. But like, I had hand sanitizer on my hands when he came into the room. Because I'd just come off a flight, and I was just like hand sanitizer. And then he like put his hand out to like to shake my hand, and I kind of, because I had my hand sanitizer all over my hands, I kind of like just offered a fist, you know. And then there was this kind of like his handshake kind of like went over my. It was like the uncoolest thing that ever happened to me at a moment when I needed to be so cool. But I saw him a few times after that, so I feel like I smoothed it out, you know. But my biggest regret is that I don't have a picture with him. I wish I'd have like asked, but it was like not the vibe, you know. I didn't want to be like that fanboy. But I had so many cool experiences with him. Like, he came to London, and I got a call in the middle of the night saying that he was in London, and would I come to the studio and speak to him. And so I went to the studio, we're playing music, and yeah, saw him at a festival. Like, it's just crazy, crazy stuff. And he's just like, he's a genius. Like, he, to me, he is probably the best lyricist ever, you know. Like, I don't know anyone as talented as him. So yeah, he's amazing.
That is just so cool. Really.
One
so,
to tell
so
the cool. grandkids.
Yeah, definitely tell the grandkids. Yeah. Did he give you any advice, or when you talk about music, like, yeah, what do you change? Because your music is so different, like, you, yeah, act in so different varieties, but like, how can you guys help each other? Or what advice has he given you? What maybe could you give to him?
I mean, I would never think that I have anything to offer him, but I remember him saying, he was like, this sounds so self-aggrandizing, but he was just like, your voice is so special, like the tone of your voice. And he's like, you must always keep that at the center of whatever it is you're doing, however you're rapping that, whatever kind of song it is, or whatever the production is. It's like, your voice is so unique that has to be the how did he say it? It was like the common thread, like the thing that's always at the center of the song is like your tone and your voice, because it's special, you know, like that. And when he speaks, it's like Jesus or something, you know, like he has this really calm, measured, like he doesn't waste words. He really thinks about what he says. And he's like, you know, Mars, your voice is so special. Da, da, da. You know, like he says it like that. And it's just like so chilled and so calm. Yeah.
How does it feel then to get such a nice compliment from, yeah, a person like that?
It's mind blowing. I'm not over it. Yeah, well, how kind. What a kind man. Yeah.
So nice. So let's go on. You moved to Berlin 2 years ago,
yes,
right?
Yes, I did.
How is that movement? Is that a first time for you to move in outside of the UK, or did you live?
Yeah, I've never lived abroad before, but living in Berlin has been, it's been crazy. I don't necessarily feel like I've made the most of it, to be honest. You know, I'm quite, in my personal life, I'm very low-key, very chill, and I just like to be at home. I like to be with my dog and my fiance, you know. But so like being in Berlin is just like, I don't love techno, so I feel like if you don't love techno, there's not much else to do. No, but I really enjoyed the vibrancy of the city, and I feel like it's really helped me creatively and see things in a different way. And I mean, I'm a big rule breaker, so Germany in general is like hard for me because I'm just like, but why do I have to do it this way? And why did I, you know, lots of rules, but yeah, I've really enjoyed it.
How's your German coming along? Yeah. Already heard a little bit. So we're going to do, I want to do a little test.
Okay.
I don't want to be mean or anything.
Is this like my A1 exam?
Maybe. I brought you the longest officially registered German word.
Oh my goodness.
And I want to see if you can read it.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, wait. I'll give you the, here.
Okay. Okay. It says, oh my, this is like
I'm
every
sorry,
letter
I don't
of
be
the
mean.
Alphabet. Okay. Grundstückverkehr gegen Migung Zuständigkeit Übertragungsverordnung.
No, that was so good. No, that was so good. I was struggling when I'm reading that. So.
But what does it mean?
What does it mean? So I had to look it up myself.
Yeah.
So in English, it says regulation on the transfer of authority for real estate transaction permit. It's the most German
if
thing ever.
If that's not German, I don't know what is. Do you know what I mean?
So you know what it means from the... So imagine the government saying, before you sell a certain land, you might need permission. So this super long word is just the rule that says which government office is going to be responsible for giving you that permission.
I mean, that's phenomenal. That is literally the most German word that, I think you could possibly have thought of. Yeah, brilliant.
And you handled it perfectly.
Thank
so
you.
From now on, when somebody comes to you, you can just say you're German, and when they dispute it, you just show them the clip, or you send them to me, and I'll argue.
Exactly. That's my German language confirmation.
So, can you name me one thing about Berlin that you like, and one thing about Berlin that you don't like?
One thing I like about Berlin, I think, is... Oh, what's my favorite thing? I like the food. There's so much good food. There's great Asian food. I'd say that's the best thing. There's
got a favorite food spot?
Yeah, I like Umami. It's really good. But I feel like people who know all the niche, like Asian food places, are going to be like, no, Umami's a chain. But yeah. But what don't I like about Berlin? I mean, I think sometimes, I mean, I don't know how I survived this winter. It's got to be. It's the winter.
It has to be.
Because the summer is, when it's sonnig and warm and lovely, then it's great. But like the winter, oh my God.
Let's be honest, the summer is the only thing that makes up for that winter, because the winter is so bad that...
And the thing is, it's like what I hear, it's like when you have children, you know, like you forget about the painful part because you've got this like really cute baby, and then all of a sudden you have to do it all over again. That's like what the winter's like for me. It's like we get a really nice summer and then you forget all about how hard the winter was, and then it comes around again. It's like, I don't know, it's just like some horrible ex, you know, that you can't get away from.
Perfect description. Yeah. It comes back
just
every year.
Keeps coming back every year. And you're like, why?
So let's talk about your music, and especially your new single, Rhythm Unknown.
Yes.
So for me, the track portrays like a mix of like a certain joy, but it's also really emotional. So I'd like to know first, what was the mind space that you were in when you wrote the song?
Yeah, when I was writing the song, I had just made a lot of changes in my life in terms of like on the business side. Like I just got new management, I'd left my record label, like making these really big, scary life choices that feel so big and feel so scary. You know, I was just at this point where I was just like, you know what, I feel like there's more for me. I feel like there's something bigger and better that I can be demanding out of life, you know. And I felt like at the time I was really like craving just like a level up, you know. I was really kind of like super grateful and super happy with all the experiences that I'd had in my career so far, but I felt like there's a little voice inside me that was like, what if you just ask for more? What if you dream it a little bit bigger, go push a little bit further? And I think I'd been in a headspace for quite some time of like these limiting beliefs and being very like a people pleaser. Like I was just too scared to ask for what I want and to like push the boundaries of what had already happened and see what else was possible. And I think that's really important to do in life, is to not hold yourself back, is to just dream it a bit bigger and push the boundaries and go a bit further and demand more and not be afraid to ask for it, because people want to help you. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So that was the headspace that I was in. I was like, okay, I'm doing big, scary things that feel new to me. And the Rhythm Unknown, the song was really born out of like the euphoric feeling that I felt once I just was like, actually, I'm going to make this change and I'm going to do this. And actually, this suits me better. And I'm going to care a little bit less about whether that upsets this person or whether I was just like, I'm going to do what's best for me. I'm going to demand the best that I can possibly achieve out of life. And all of a sudden, like, saying no felt really easy. And I just got this, like, big, like, just this feeling of euphoria of, like, oh, my God, I can do this, you know? I can make these changes. I can do big, scary things, and it's not that scary. And so the unknown is, you know, like, I had a big fear of the unknown, and all of a sudden the unknown wasn't that scary, and I just felt like I was just in this dance with it of, like, just doing scary things and it feeling really euphoric and great, and that's really what inspired the song.
Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like the a little bit of the process of facing the unknown, yeah. Kind of. And how did that mental click for you came? Like, when does that, do you know, is there a certain point where that shift came where you're like, it's enough with the people pleasing?
Yeah.
Or it's enough with, yeah, I just got to watch myself.
I definitely felt it. I felt different after I did it a few times. And I think that's true in most people's lives, is that sometimes we reach a point where we realize that we're not happy with where we are, but we're comfortable. And sometimes, like, you know, you get comfortable even if you're not happy with where you are, but, like, the feeling of familiarity and being comfortable with your situation somehow overrides that. And, you know, I think I just want people, when they hear my song, to feel the euphoric feeling and that freedom that they can do whatever they want and they can be whatever they want and they can be unafraid to want more for themselves, because it's very human to play small. I think we're very used to that. But I want people to just feel like they can just take on the world when they listen to this song, you know?
I love that. I genuinely love that. And I can relate to it so much, because I think stepping out of the comfort zone is one of the most important things that you have to do just to see what can be possible. Like, I had to do it to come here, and yeah, so I really
absolutely
can relate to,
you know, I'm sure there were so many points in your life where you had to push yourself just a little bit, you know, and you had to have that feeling of, like, maybe I can do this if I just stretch that comfort zone a little bit. And it's a universal feeling. Everyone will feel like that at some point in their lives, and I want this song to soundtrack that. I want people to just get pumped up to do the things that scare them, you know, because everyone deserves that, to be the highest and greatest version of themselves, you know what I mean? And I want that for everyone.
Have you had feedbacks from fans telling you that maybe the song has exactly done that to them, helped them to...
Yeah, definitely. I hear it all the time, and it's just so lovely. There's nothing more... That's why I do this. Do you know what I mean? Because, like, the reason that I make music is because, number one, I have to. There's, like, something inside of me that exists that has to come outside of me. I don't know why. It just is there. But also is because I want to make other people feel good. And that's what my music is about now, is that there's so much stuff in this world to feel bad about. And I just want to be a bit of an antidote, a bit of relief. I want to just create a little world over here where we can all go to just not think about all that stuff, because, like, that's not real life. What real life is about connection and love and freedom. And I want to soundtrack that. I want people to feel like that in my presence. I want to do that with people. So I'm kind of, like, writing this new music that makes people feel good so that we can do that together, and we can find a little place where we can all get together and dance and just feel good, you know?
Yeah, I love it. That's really so, so nice. So you start your song off with lyrics about talking about your neighbors having a party.
Yes.
Which you can hear, which made me laugh. I have a 5-year-long beef with my neighbors when I first moved out, because we were pretty loud. So I'm trying to ask you, did you have that situation in your life? Were you either more the neighbor that, like, your neighbors complain about, or do you have neighbors?
I mean, I dread to think what my neighbors hear, like, because I'm constantly singing. Like, it's almost like a disease. Like, I'm singing all the time. So they must hear me sing, but for sure. But I definitely have had a few noisy neighbors. I mean, for the first year that I lived in Berlin, I had a techno DJ that lived upstairs. And that was crazy.
And because you love techno too, you said, right?
And I love techno. Yeah, so there was just, like, a constant, like, low level of... like, you know what I mean? But that's Berlin. Hey, that's just the heartbeat of Berlin, I guess.
That really is. I have a funny question to ask you about your living situation, because we're doing an action with Immo Scout right now.
Yes.
So we had this question. What Which furniture piece in your crib has the most aura?
Well, I did have in my last apartment, I had a swing in my apartment. I feel like that was like aura, like infinity.
A swing where you can, like, you mean,
yeah,
where you can sit
an
on?
An actual
the...
swing. That no was way. Crazy. I installed it myself. It was not there at the beginning, and I just put it in because I had, it was kind of like a loft vibe, and it had like these big metal beams that went across, and I just was like, this is the perfect place for a swing.
That's so cool. Yeah. That's what I want. I have the vision of getting a Pac-Man machine into my crib. Yeah. So that's exactly the motivation you need to some. And another question also about the living situation. We had this discussion here in the reduction. It's a funny one also. If imagine think about animals and in every movie or TV series, if you could have any animal from a movie or TV series as a pet,
who
would it be?
I think it would have to be someone like probably like. From a TV series or a film, or does it have to be?
Whatever, it can be both. Just a fictional, yeah. There's so many.
I always loved, like, you know, the meerkat in Lion King, Simone. I just thought that would be so cute, just to have a little meerkat. You know, they just sort of like stand around like that. So I feel like maybe from the Lion King, I would have Simone as my little pet.
That's a good answer. We haven't had that one before. We heard like a lot of crazy answers, but. Not that one.
But also, like, maybe, like, some kind of, like, animal, like a dolphin or something, I feel like is, like, such a flex.
Skipper.
Like, yeah, exactly. Maybe I want Skipper, you know, but, like, where am I going to put that? Not in the bath.
Yeah, maybe
I'll
not.
Sell a few more records. Maybe I can have a big dolphin enclosure or something one day. We'll see. Let's dream it big.
That's it. So, I want to talk a little bit about festival season.
Yes.
Before we end up the interview. So, name maybe one thing. Did you go to festivals... not only as an artist, but also as a person that wants to watch festivals?
Yes, I love live music, and festivals are the perfect place because there's so many different types of genres and music that I like to listen to. So I just love just walking around, like, especially being from the UK. I mean, festival culture is like enormous. So I feel like I've been really spoiled having so many festivals to go to. So yeah, I love it.
Nice. So name me one thing that you like about festivals from an artist perspective and one from a fan perspective.
From an artist perspective, I think access to your favorite artists really close up. You know, being able to see other artists in artist areas. I mean, I've met like countless of like my favorite people.
Name me your top three.
Okay, well, obviously Kendrick. I met him at a festival one time. Who else did I meet? Bruno Mars and Justin Bieber.
Wow.
I guess they're just cool people to see, you know, just like walking around.
You talk
like,
to them?
Wow, these are human beings. That I was like... I didn't speak to Justin or Bruno, but I did speak to Kendrick. But it's like it's just such a bizarre environment, you know, just seeing all of these like people that you only ever see on a screen, and like now all of a sudden they're like 3D, and you're like, no way, no way, these people are real.
Okay, yeah. So let's go on. Name me your five festival essentials.
Oh my gosh, blister plasters. Because you never know. I mean, that's the worst if you get blisters.
Yeah, you never do.
Like, you bring new shoes because you think you're going to look so nice, and then it's like blisters. I think also, okay, that's one. Let me think. I think allergy tablet.
Mm-hmm.
This is so practical. I feel like an old woman right now. Blister plasters, allergy tablets, because I'm allergic to, like, the air in summer. What else? I feel like maybe a lighter, because that's just good conversation starter. You know what I mean? Someone always needs a lighter. It's good to chat to people.
Yeah, smart.
Cash.
Cash?
Especially in Germany.
Yeah. Oh.
You guys love cash. You need your cash, because there's nothing worse than they're like, sorry, we don't accept card. And you're just like...
I hate it.
I'm so thirsty. What else? So
we got one to go.
Water. You got to keep hydrated. Sorry, guys. That's so boring. That is the most practical. I feel like I'm going on a camping trip or something.
No, but you'll make it through the festival, actually.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah, you'll survive.
Other lists, I think they won't come back. So looks good. And yeah, you're really mature. Just so, what was your best festival experience?
I would have to say probably there's a great festival that happens. I mean, is it a festival? It's basically a big outdoor. It's in Hyde Park in London. It's called British Summertime Festival. And they have the most amazing heritage acts, as well as like big new acts. I mean, they have people from like Stevie Wonder to Justin Bieber, Bruno Mars. And I've been there. It's probably one of my favorites. Purely mostly because of the location. It's in Hyde Park in London, which is like the most amazing, like, royal park. And but I loved seeing, I mean, I watched Bruno Mars there, and that was just incredible. He's amazing. So to be like outdoors, under the stars, in London, watching Bruno Mars, I mean, like, there's nothing better.
Yeah, sounds great.
Yeah.
Sounds really, really good. So could you give an advice to a person that has never been to a festival? Like, they come to you, they ask you, what advice would you give them?
I would say dance as much as you can with strangers. Put your phone down and really, really have a human experience, because you're all there for the same reason. You know what I mean? And I feel like that's the most special thing, is like at festivals, it's like you become one entity, you become one family. You're all dancing to the same rhythm, and you just look around and it's like nothing matters. There's no points of difference anymore. We're there like being connected and being human. And I think it's just the most, it's the most beautiful thing.
Nice. Any festivals planned for you for the summer?
I currently don't have any. What do I have? Yeah, there's probably a few in the diary that I can't remember. But as far as going to festivals as a customer, I'll try and get to as many as I can, because it's probably my favorite way to experience music. You know, there's something about being outdoors and live music that's just like magical, you know?
Yeah. So last question. What lies in the future for Moskena and for Moskena fans?
Well, there's going to be lots more music coming out. And, you know, the most important thing to me is that I see as many of my listeners in real life as possible. That's my my favorite thing, is to watch them watching me. You know what I mean? Because I feel so connected to these people. And when I see them in real life, just enjoying the music that once only existed in my head, is unbelievable to me, you know. And I get such a buzz from hearing my music on the radio, but to really know that it's making people want to move and want to dance, and is feel good, makuta launa, and remedying their lives, is just, it's so beautiful. I just want to create this little world. I'm an escape artist. I want us to just escape the matrix of whatever this is, where we're all feeling so bad and worrying about our, you know, where we're going to get money from and what's this going on. It's just too much to worry about. Okay, so like I just want to see these people in real life, and I just want to just create this little escape for us to just feel good.
Mm-hmm. So I love it. I'm just going to tell in German to the people, Leute, ihr habt Moss gehört. Er will euch live sehen, deswegen, wenn ihr die Möglichkeit habt, ihn euch anzugucken, geht auf jeden Fall hin. So, Moskena, it's really, really, really nice having you here, talking to you. It was a great interview. I had a great time. I hope you enjoyed it too. Mm-hmm. And thank you so much.
Sure, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Der Energy Star Talk. Einer von vielen Energy Original Podcasts. Noch mehr Infos findet ihr auf energy.de. Keine monatlichen Kosten. Bei uns streamt ihr for free die Energy Webstreams. Immer die besten Hits für euren Geschmack. Zum Beispiel Energy K-Pop. Egal wo ihr seid, egal was ihr macht, das ist der richtige Soundtrack für euren Alltag. So come up with me, I'll take you high. Checkt Energy K-Pop und alle weiteren Streams in der App und auf energy.de. Denn hört ihr Streams, hört ihr Energy. Ganz einfach über euren Smart Speaker.
Alexa, spiel Energy K-Pop.
Energy, hit music only.